now blameless. That's you. He calls us holy. We've been forgiven. He calls us righteous and free. That's you. He has declared it. He who sits upon the throne of eternity has declared that these things are true. He says that you're righteous. He says that you're blameless. He says that you're spotless. He says that you're righteous and free. What's next? Spotless, and he calls you worthy. You may not feel like that you are, but Jesus made you that way. The Bible says that whenever he went down to this potter's house, he was making a work on the wheel, and the wheel was marred. And what did he do? He broke it down and he made it again. You have been made again. Who you are, what you used to be, where you used to go, that person is dead and gone. You are now blameless. You are now spotless by the blood and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And now we enter into family. Now we're his child. He calls us chosen. And all we can do is give up all that we are to him. Man, think about that. The ruler over eternity says you're right. He says you're good. He says you're blameless. He says you're spotless. He says that you've been made right. You're free now from what used to hold you back. And those words last and transcend past this earth, past heaven. Everything else in this whole entire universe will pass away. But his words that he's spoken over you will never pass away. Never will you ever, never, never, never listen to the words of the enemy, the tricks of the enemy trying to get you to think you're less than what you are. You are worthy. You are spotless. You have been made righteous. You are free today from the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. God has declared it to be, and I believe it to be so. Amen. I think we're good, guys. Amen. Glory to God. Y'all have a seat. It's to be so. What I'm talking about. We can go home now. And all the hungry people said, amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to start in verse 17. Man, I'm just wobbling up here, dude. Now I'm going to go to, 14. I'll do 14. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Kids will believe anything you say. Why? Because you're the authority in their life. And they believe that everything that comes out of your mouth is the truth. And we know whenever we're grown, we know that that's not the way it is. But whenever we're kids, we just take in whatever's said to us. They believe that Disney is right, the Disney Channel is right, Nickelodeon's right, Cartoon Network is right. They believe that that's right. Why? Because that's what's being told them. That's what we allow to be put into them. If I told JoJo that sky, he says, man, Daddy, that's a pretty blue sky. No, it's not blue, it's green, son. That's green. Your eyes are messed up. You're colorblind. He'll go the rest of his days thinking that he's colorblind. Why? Because he trusts me. And he believes what I say. We as grown-ups, though, and those who are entered into the kingdom of God and into the household of God are no longer children, just to take anything that comes our way. Any word that you hear from a pulpit or from a prophecy, or even if Jesus himself manifests in your room and says something, it needs to line up with his word. If it don't line up with the word, it ain't God, and we ain't got time for it. And we need to put it out and put it away. No longer are we called to be children. No, we are called to walk uprightly before God. We are called to be like the Bereans, to study out what we've been told, what people say things are. I'll never forget whenever I started going to Living Word in 1998, I heard things that I'd never heard in my entire life about what the Word of God said, what it meant, what God said, how God did this, what is this. I spent 6 months trying to disprove everything the man said from the pulpit. And in the process of time, got an awareness of, wow, this is really what the Word of God has to say. This is really what God means. It'll change your life forever. Don't be tossed to and fro by just anybody saying anything, because there's a lot of folks out there saying it's God, and I don't know. If it don't line up with His Word, it ain't. If I say something and I say, thus saith the Lord, and it don't line up with His Word, it was wrong. If Paul says something and it don't line up with His Word, it's wrong. If Kenneth Copeland says something and it don't line up with His Word, it's wrong. If the Pope says something and it don't line up with His Word, it is wrong. It is an error. The deciding factor in everything in your life, everything should filter and flow through whether or not the Word says it's right. Period. Everything. Tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love. What is the truth? It's the Word of God. We speak it in love. Many grow up in all things into Him who is the head, and that is Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together with every joint, supplies according to the effective working of every part, does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You want to know why this church is going to grow? It's because every part is finding out where it's supposed to be, and it does its job. When every part finds out where it's supposed to be and does its job, it causes growth in the body. How y'all getting your church grow? Well, people are doing things. They're doing something. They're putting their hand to where they're supposed to be. They're doing something. I can't tell you the number of people walk up to me and go, Greg, is there something I can do? Yes, sir. We will find you something to do. We'll put you to work. Because as we find our place and where we're supposed to be in the body of Christ, it will begin to grow. That's what it says right here. It causes growth to the body for the edifying of itself in love. Verse 17, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. What I'm going to share with you this morning comes off the heels of a message that was preached Tuesday night here in this town by Mr. Joel Gray, who's in the back right now, where he talked about us as Christians, we have to train our minds to think differently. Powerful. He even said, and I don't know if he said it then, but he said it to me on the phone after he preached, that God shows us in His Word, if His Word is a group of all the promises and everything, how we're supposed to be, God even shows us how we're supposed to react and how we're supposed to operate in the earth with the first chapter of Genesis. God said, and He changed things. He spoke, and things changed. He said, and He changed. And as a Christian, whenever you step over into the kingdom of God, one of the very first things that you've got to start understanding is that your words are little containers of power. That as you begin to speak, things are going to come to pass, and they're going to change because you now have been given a position. It's kind of like a police officer. You have to go through training to be a police officer. Why is that? Why can't I just be a police officer today, just put the badge on me and tell me I can go do the thing? Why is that? I don't know. That's right, Bill. We should be able to just do that. No, man. You have to understand your authority before you're allowed to go out there and handle the public. Not only do you have to understand the authority, but you have to understand the law. You've got to know what you can and cannot do. You've got to know what's allowed and what's not allowed. If you go out there too quick, you're Barney Fife. Citizens arrest. I mean, you know, you're... That was Gomer, by the way. But you'll be out there like Barney Fife and not understand your authority. That was the problem with Barney. He didn't understand his authority. He went out there too quick. And us as Christians, if we don't understand our authority, we'll just start saying all kind of stuff. And because we've been given by God, God has placed on us this righteousness. What did we just sing? What did we just sing? I'm blameless. You call me righteous. You call me free. We've been made kings and priests unto our God. That's who we are. We've been placed in that position. We are new creations. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And now, because of that position, seated at the right hand of God, we now have authority to speak in this world. And if we don't know what to say, we can screw some stuff up. Isn't that right, man? Amen. He's the punching bag this morning. Just loved him. Yeah, that's his neck. That you put off concerning your former conduct. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says that if any man be in Christ, any woman, any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. That means they're dead. How many of y'all got a relative that passed away? Do you see them anymore? Why? Because they're dead. Right? Now, we have a hope in Christ Jesus that we're going to see them one day. But you follow where I'm coming from. They ain't around. Now, you pick up a picture and look at them and try to remember. And remember, our old man has been passed away. Behold, everything's become new. You got the Amplified up there for me, Sarah? Therefore, if anyone, any man, any person that is in Christ, that is engrafted in him, joined in him by faith, him as the Savior, he is a new creature, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, which is the previous moral and spiritual condition, have passed away. The previous moral and spiritual condition passed away. It went away. I'm a Saints fan. I've always been a Saints fan. You Cowboys fans, y'all moved to Texas. Glory to God, hallelujah. I don't know how somebody can root for it. I mean, it's like living in Minden, and Minden's playing Houghton, and you're rooting for Houghton. I mean, what the heck? Cowboys fans? I got one that lives in my household. Where's she at? She's in the kids' team? Yeah. She wouldn't be in my house. She lives in my house. I got to keep her. Sissy says I got to keep her. Yeah, this is my mom up here, y'all, by the way. We call her Sissy. Yeah, y'all say hey to Sissy on the way out. Yeah. I'm a Saints fan. Man, they had it going on, dude. Champs. Winning. Looking good. Then all of a sudden, they just decided not to. Changed the mind. I mean, I went to a thing down in Baton Rouge last week. I was in Baton Rouge last week, yeah. And they had it was this business thing, and you know how they have a PowerPoint presentation. One of the PowerPoint presentations actually had a picture of a dude with a sack on his head that said Aints instead of Saints. You know, it's just that's just the feeling around here. It's Canes. No, they just ain't doing it. And that's kind of like what God, I think God sees us like I see the Saints. It's like, dude, you got it going on, man. You got all this talent. You got all this ability. Man, you can win every game that you play. But for some reason, you just decide not to. Yeah, just decide not to. Just decide, you know what? Forget it. You know, that old blunt was pretty good back in the day. Let me go hit it again. You know, there ain't nothing like a shot of bourbon, a little old Coke mixed up in that thing. Man, that was good back then. You know what? All it is a picture of a lady without her clothes on. That's all it is. And see, what we have to do as Christians is we have to start to understand that all of these suggestions and these things that come up to us and get in our mind every day and the stuff that keeps messing with us every day and comes up every day, that's nothing more than a fiery dart from the enemy trying to get us to move in a different direction than what God wants us to move in. I mean, what's our battle cry this year? Make the devil mad. Ain't nothing going to make him any more mad than not to do what he's trying to suggest that you should do. He's trying to get us off, guys. We are a new creature. Everything that we used to be is passed away. Behold, everything is brand new right now today. There's a new way of walking. There's a new way of talking. There's a new way of thinking. And I think Joel's absolutely right. If we don't change our minds, if we don't train our minds to operate like the Word wants us to operate, then we're gonna be out there. We're gonna be screwing some stuff up in the name of Jesus and messing it up. You'll be smoking a blunt in the name of Jesus if you don't watch out. I ain't lying. Y'all think I'm playing, but there's people that really are there. They're really there. They're at that point to where their minds are so screwed up that they think that what they're doing is okay. They think it's all right. That you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Your mind. You know, we talk about us. We're spirit, soul, and body. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. We're spirit, soul, and body. That the whole spirit, soul, and body be knit together. Spirit, soul, and body. There's three parts to us. And when you're born again, the spirit is made new. That's what happens. That's the part that the spirit is made new. The body's going to remain the same. Your body is always going to want to do what your body has always wanted to do. That's just what it does. It's called the flesh, right? And that's the stuff that we're going to put off whenever we move into glory. But your mind, man, your mind has to be saved. James said that you would receive the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. What is my soul? My soul is my mind, my will, and emotions. It's the part of me, it's that part of me that helps me make quality decisions on what it is that I need to do. It's that executive up in my brain and says, we need to start going this way, we need to do this or that. It's like your conscience. It's like your little Jiminy Cricket up there. Telling you, well, go this way or go that way. Do this, do that. And the enemy is going to do everything he can to suggest to that thing, you know, that you go, what was the name of that place that Pinocchio went to where he turned into a donkey? No, it wasn't Fantasyland. It was, hell. I can't remember what the name of it. Pleasure Island. Who said that? You get $5 at the end of service, man. Thank you. Baby, give him a 5 spot. I don't have any cash either. Somebody give that man a 5 and I'll pay you back. Come by the bank tomorrow and I'll pay you back. Yeah, tomorrow never gets here. That's right. We have to understand that we are new creatures. We're new creations in Christ, that we can't allow the enemy to suggest that we go this way or that way. So how do I keep myself from doing that? Well, I'm glad you asked. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Because I don't want you to be afraid of anything. You shouldn't be scared. But the enemy is going to come back on you. He's going to come back on you. He is going to try everything he can to get you back to where he wants you to be. He wants you to be in a spot that's way outside of where God wants you to be. And it's just a little bit off from where you are supposed to be. It's just a little bit. That's how the enemy does his deal. He don't try to get you going all the way up. Like, yeah, just a little bit. It's just a little pot. It's just a little bit. It's just one joint. It's just one. Ain't gonna hurt nothing. Right? It's just one pill. Amen. Somebody likes my preaching. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That means they're not fleshly. They're not, you know, you can't see them, touch them, you know, kind of thing. But mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. What are we doing? We're what? Casting down what? Strongholds. Some of y'all are going to have imaginations in your Bible there, if you brought it, or your iPhone, or your iPad, or your personal device. Casting down imaginations and arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every single thought into the obedience. How is it that I watch? How is it that I protect? How is it that I fight this battle? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, so it's not anything out here. We don't fight against people. There ain't nobody you got to go against. There's always a spirit behind the person that they're listening to. It's the spirit that's the problem, not the people. It's always a spirit. We're supposed to love folks, but we can go after that spirit that they're listening to. You want to get into some real warfare? You get into spiritual warfare around here and start binding and loosing on the religious spirit that's over this area. You think the enemy's trying to get at you. You start going there. He's going to come at you hard. Jump out there and get it. Stop that spirit from being able to direct people around this area. Not the people. It's the Spirit. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now, this is talking about every thought, every high thing, anything. Why is that? Because every thought that we have, every suggestion that runs through our brain has the ability of manifesting itself out here. Strawberries. Y'all thinking about strawberries? Can you see it in your brain? Got a little green top on it and a red. Got them little bumpy things all over them. Cold. Juicy. Can you smell them? I did this in the first service. Between the two services, I went with Pastor Paul to Brookshire's. And he bought some strawberries. Because he got to thinking about them strawberries. And he wanted a strawberry. Yeah, he ate one right here. Yeah, he did. They're in the back if y'all want a strawberry when we're done. But you see what I'm talking about? This suggestion comes to your brain, and if you don't bring it into captivity, if you don't take that thought and see if that thought lines up against what the Word of God says, if you don't do that, then that thought is going to take you captive. And that thought is going to cart you all around town and take you to Brookshire's and pull you right up there right when you walk in the front door. There are the strawberries. We're going to take the strawberries. We're going to check out number 3, and I'm going to pop one in my mouth on the way to the truck. You're going to get it done. And that's exactly right, isn't it? I saw it happen manifest in front of me this morning. Spoke it into existence, and it happened. Why is that? Because our brains are wired to do that. For us to do anything that we need to do. Oh, I love Paul. Whenever Pastor Paul wants to get up out of a chair, y'all know what he does, right? Well, before he gets up, though, he's got to push the button, raise the chair. I will not be preaching next week. Probably won't even be here next week. Next year. Y'all will see Greg in the back, you know, he'll be out sweeping. What are you doing today, Greg? Paul said he wanted this swept up. Didn't you sweep that same spot last week? Yes. Every day, this is what I do for Paul. Oh, boy, I couldn't help it, man. So whenever you want to get up out of your chair, if I told everybody to get up, well, you're like, well, I'll just get up. Well, no, you don't. Your brain has to think about what's about to happen. It has to send signals to your legs, your hips, your butt, and all right, we're about to shift our weight here. You ready? Here we go. We're going to shift our weight forward, push the knees straight and stand up straight, straighten the back up, and now you're standing up. There's a process. There's a thought that happens in the thing. So everything that we do on the outside, it's birthed in a thought. In 1 John, it even talks about that thoughts can turn into actions. And those actions can be sin. And those sins can lead to death. I mean, this is a matter of life and death. Life and death are in the power of your tongue. Well, why is that? Well, because the things that I say are going to come to pass around me. How do I control that stuff? I control what's going on in this thing right here. Every single thought bringing into captivity. Let's go to this one, Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. We didn't do this last service. Romans 12, verses 1 through 2. Good little verse. Yep, the whole thing's good. If you've never read the Bible, I'd recommend to read. It's a good read. A lot of good stuff in there. Find out who you are in Christ. Find out that God's going to set you up, made you righteous, blameless, spotless, all the stuff we were singing about over there. But you've got it going on, whether you feel like it or not. That's you. Yeah, Romans will get all over you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Keep going. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Greg, I just don't feel like the perfect will of God's happening in my life. I just can't seem to find the will of God. Well, this scripture tells you where it's at. It's in the renewing of your mind. You've been thinking on the wrong stuff all the way up to right now. All the wrong stuff till right now. Because if you was thinking on the right stuff, you wouldn't be in front of me asking me what the will of God is for your life or trying to figure it out. You would already know.
I wanted to say that for a long time.
Did you? Yeah, oh, the will of God is for me. Well, By God, go ask him. I don't know. You need to come tell me what it is that God has put on you to do. You need to come tell us. We got plenty needs to be done, but I can't put Stephen running the daycare, the kids, the nursery. Stephen ain't never cleaned no bottom before. He don't know how to do that. It's not on his heart. Yeah, you don't even clean your own bottom, man. Like if you're ever walking anywhere with Stephen, if you get behind Stephen and you smell something, it's in front of you. I promise it's Stephen. I mean, you didn't show him how to. You got to, man, get him some baby wipes. That'll help. But we're looking for you. You should be at a point to where you could come to me and you could tell me what God has put on your heart for you to do. And if not, then you're not renewing your mind. Because when you renew your mind, you prove that you may prove, transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Not being conformed to what the world wants you to do, but being transformed by renewing your mind that you may prove what is the perfect, acceptable, and good will of God. It's up to you to get yourself. I just want the perfect will of God in my life. Okay. Renew your mind. Take every thought captive and see if it lines up with this thing right here. If it does, keep it. If it don't, kick it out. I mean, it's just like Jesus when he went into the temple, right? Jesus flows up and rolls up into the temple, and they're doing the money changers and all that kind of stuff. What'd Jesus do? He went and made a whip. He flipped all the tables over. He drove everything out of the temple that wasn't supposed to be there. So if we, as the temple of God, will allow Jesus in his little old leather jacket to come rolling up inside of us, he gonna get everything out of there that ain't supposed to be in there. He get it out. And the only thing that's going to be left is the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. It's up to you. You get to choose which one you want. You want the good, you want the acceptable, you want the perfect. It's up to you. The door is wide open. I'm out of time. Yeah, really? Man, I'm flying by the seat of my pants. We'll end with a story that's going to get me sleeping in the doghouse tonight.
Yeah, you're already there, bro.
Yeah, I said it in the first service too. So the other day, Stephen, Brittany, and Clint come by the house, right? They come by to visit. We have a new house. We bought a new house. And Stephen had just closed on something, and he bought a new place too. Congratulations, Stephen. Pastor Matt, I think y'all got a new place too. I think Matt. Yeah, I think. I think there's a lot of people in here that have a whole lot of new places to stay. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're on the grow. It's all about geographical location. You get in a place where you're supposed to be, God is going to take you to the next level. Just get where you're supposed to be. Causes growth. Anyway, so we come rolling up in the house, and Brittany goes, it just kind of smells funny in here. And, you know, the house had been empty for a while, you know. House had kind of been empty for a while, and so, you know, I'm not saying that the people before us were nasty. I'm not saying that. But whenever a house sits for a little while with nobody in it, it starts to smell, right? Y'all been in a house that had nobody in it? And so I just said to Brittany, oh, that's just that smell, and we're trying to get rid of it. And, you know, she's like, no, really? And then Clint goes over to the sink, you know. He looks in the sink, and it looks like somebody looked like somebody had just upchucked right in the sink. It was nasty looking. Regurgitated. Stand By Me. Y'all ever seen the movie Stand By Me? Know what I'm talking about? Yeah, pie eating contest. That was in the sink. It was nasty. Nasty. The water was a little high. And anyway, you know, it was pretty nasty in there. So that explained what Brittany was smelling. You know, way to go, Brittany. She knew something was wrong. And so anyway, Clint and I noticed that there's also this plunger sitting there in the sink. You know, somebody had been there, and the sink got stopped up, apparently, with something. And they had the plunger there. They were trying to plunge the thing out. You know, that's what it looked like happened. And we come to find out, this is the end of the story before the end of the story. But come to find out that because we didn't have any trash can liners in the kitchen, And no trash bags. We had no trash bags, and we didn't want to get a trash can dirty. We dumped the SpaghettiOs and meatballs.
Who did?
Oh, I don't know who did this. We got the SpaghettiOs and meatballs that were left over from the night before that Zoe had eaten, the half a saucepan of that, and we dumped them in the disposal, in the sink, and pushed them down in there and turned it on to eat all that up and crush it all up so it'll just go right down the drain. That's what we did. I don't know who did that, so. You think so? I'll buy a new disposal because it definitely is not. It's not Angel's fault. Right. It's not Angel's fault. It's the disposal's fault. So somebody, right now at my house, nothing's still working, by the way. Right now at my house, there is a clump of SpaghettiOs and meatballs somewhere between the sink and the septic tank. I have no clue where it's at, but it's somewhere between the sink and the septic tank, right? So anyway, me and Clint, I want to get back to Clint, all right? Me and Clint, we're going to start working on this thing, right? And so Clint grabs the handle of the plunger, right? As soon as he does, he stirs the water. Now, if you've ever eaten like a really good cheese, all right, a really great cheese, I'm sorry, a really good cheese, it'll have different layers to the taste. You know, it'll be kind of creamy and then it'll go salty and it's like, that's nice cheese. Well, this smell, there were layers to this smell as it eroded from this gelatinous mess. I mean, it was just, you know, it didn't like flow like water. It just kind of, you know, it hovered. It's kind of like on Star Wars, you know, whenever they went down this garbage chute and that stuff was just kind of, New hope. So anyway, this stuff starts moving and the layers of the smell came. Now, the first one, of course, was just SpaghettiOs. You know, you open the can, you get the SpaghettiOs. And then it was a little bit of a nasty SpaghettiO smell, like, gross SpaghettiO smells. And right after that was ammonia. Like you would never, I mean, it burned my nose hairs. Clint went, whoa, like this. I mean, it was just a lot of ammonia. Somebody, I don't know who, but somebody thought that ammonia was made to clear out a drain. Is what they thought. They thought that's what you used to clear out the drains. You just poured a bunch of ammonia in the sink and plunged it, and that made it better. So this ammonia became like this wasabi thing going on in my brain, right? It got in my nose, went through every nasal cavity that I have, burned its way over my frontal lobe, and continued on to my brain stem. I mean, this stuff filled my head. It was ammonia. You know, I was like, wow, that hurts. You know what I'm talking about? Like wasabi. The first time you have wasabi, it's like, whoa, or horseradish. You know, whoa. Yeah, it awakened my brain. Every portion of my brain did that. Yeah, my medulla oblongata. It definitely hit that thing. Boy, I got ornery quick, just like a crocodile that ain't got no toothbrush. Oh, yeah, the medulla oblongata. Mama's wrong again. Yeah, no, Colonel Sanders, you're wrong. I'm sorry. We got to go. This is done. I promise this is done. The point to the story is this. All y'all understand the thing in the brain? That's what the Word of God will do if you let it get in your brain. It will go into every crevice of who you used to be and clear out all that old junk that used to be there. It's going to take out every old thought that's taken itself. It's a stronghold in there that's placed in there. It's this stronghold that's gotten in that place, and it's hunkered down deep, way back in the back of your mind that's just waiting for a good opportunity to pop out and get you to do something you're not supposed to do. If you let the Word of God and the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, get all up in that, He's going to go through your brain like that ammonia did mine and clear everything out. He's going to touch everybody and pull all that stuff out and say, don't you need to change this? You know, you might not want to do this anymore. Hey, you know, and this, it's going to weed all that mess out and will change you to where now when these thoughts come up immediately, when you get that thought immediately, something in you goes, no, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 says this. No, Psalm 1 says this. Psalm 23 says this. You're going to know exactly. I mean, think about Jesus. Whenever Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, what did he use to come back at the enemy? The word. Thus, it's written. It's written. It's written. It's been written. It's written. It's written. It's written. It's the same thing with us. Whenever we're fighting this battle against the enemy, because the enemy's always going to come and try to make you be what you used to be, it's always coming out with the word. It's written. It's written. It's written. It's written. We have to take the time to let the word of God get up in there and get all in that brain, and where it's all up in that brain, where you can't smell nothing but ammonia for a week and a half. Just, you know, snort the stuff. Take it, grind it up. Some of y'all know how to do that. Take it, grind it up. Snort it, man. Put you a couple of lines of the Bible in there. Take Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, grind it up, put it on a line. Get it. Did I go over the line there? Because everybody got real quiet. And they got quiet because they said, that's not a bad idea. Not a bad idea at all. I can take that thing. It might work. Put a little Sudafed on there. It'll be all right. We got to get the word in us, because we have to. It is up to us to put on the new man. It's up to us to change our minds. It's up to us to change the way we think. It's up to us to change. Change, 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 change. You have to renew your mind. You have to change your actions. You are the one in control of your conduct. And if you are not where you think you should be right now today, that's because up to this point, you have allowed those old ways, the old man, the old things that you used to do to creep their way back up into your life. And you have either said, done something that got you where you are today. But where you're going tomorrow is going to be based on what the decisions you make today. If you decide today that I'm going to make the word of God the number one thing in my life, if you say today that every time the enemy comes at me with something I used to be and used to do, I'm going to use the word of God against him. If you start doing that thing, I guarantee you, you will end up where God wants you to be, the perfect will. That's where you'll be. Amen. Let's stand. I'm done.